Bene, dopo il professor Cadima abbiamo adesso l'intervento della dottoressa, della professoressa Beata Klimkiewicz, che è l'unica relatrice donna del nostro panel, viene dalla Polonia, è professore associato presso l'Istituto di Giornalismo e Comunicazione Sociale della Università Jagellonica di Cracovia, e a lei do la parola.
Thank you very much. It's a great honor and pleasure for me to be here with you, and I would like to thank the organizers for their kind invitation. And sorry again for being here far away from you, but I would like to manage my PowerPoint presentation in a quite comfortable position. I think that perhaps we all agree in that European public broadcasters now at the moment are undergoing one of the most difficult change and also challenge in their very existence. And it's not only because of new technological environment and new ways of media use, and not only because of regulatory pressure from the European Commission to clarify the mission of public service media, and also more clearly their relationships with governments, but also because of new political choices either made because of commercial incentives, like the choices discussed in the case of France and Spain, but in some instances also for populist reasons, like it happens now in Central and Eastern Europe. I'm talking about such policy moves like abolition of license fees quite recently in Hungary, and very similar solution which is being discussed still at the policy level in Poland and also the Czech Republic. All these developments actually pose some questions for us. Does policymaking process concerning public service media really reflect democratic expectations? Does it really evolve towards a sort of converged pan-European model still largely driven by commercial logic and controlled by party politics, perhaps a little bit more than by forces of representative democracies? All these questions necessarily appear at many public service media try to defend their position in a media landscape and also their identity in a broader media systems. And I think that the case of Poland and some other Central European countries could serve as a perfect laboratory case in this matter, because public service media system has been introduced only 20 years ago, actually, in these countries, and then subsequently changed through many reforms. And now, actually, in many instances, this kind of institution is being weakened, at least if we look at the financing modes, financing changes, political pressure, and so on. In other words, public service media's phases of development, introduction, growth, maturity, and decline were marked by quite different intensity and also length than in other European countries in the region. And this, of course, impacted and impacts still the way how public service media develops in the region. Public service media were born in Central and Eastern Europe as a product of a very profound change of the whole media system after 1989. And although there were many normative expectations, I would like to mention at least two. The full independence from the state and party politics on the one hand, and partial independence from the market, at least through the dual form of financing of public service media, through license fees on the one hand and through advertising and commercial sources on the other, these expectations met many, many practical difficulties. And I would like to at least mention three limitations in this respect. New public service media, new institutions, preserved actually institutional continuity of former state media. The second, despite availability of other options in the region, a so-called Western dual model was transposed in terms of regulation, in terms of institutions being modeled after West European patterns. As I mentioned, there were other options, like, for instance, to build a system composed of three levels, not only public-private, but also so-called social community media, which played a very important role during the communism as underground media, for instance. So finally, this solution won. And the third limitation I would like to reflect a bit on is the fact that starting point of public service media originated or institutional birth originated in the moment when enhanced critique of PSM model, of public service media model in the West just started. So before any successful reform could be completed, the concept itself started to be criticized. And this is actually very problematic until now. Recent developments of public service media and more broadly regulation were affected by all these limitations in Central and Eastern Europe and also Poland. And I would like to mention three areas of recent changes. The first is regulatory, and it has to do with a proliferation of new regulatory agencies in the region and division of competences between old regulators and new regulators being responsible for two different things in the broadcasting systems. So new regulatory bodies have emerged across the region, and although some of them were advertised as a sort of Ofcom type of reform in Central and Eastern Europe, practice shows something completely different. In the case of Office for Electronic Communication, which was introduced in Poland in 2005, this new regulatory agency didn't result in unification of whole regulation under one office, like was the case of Ofcom, but still all the distinctions between media sectors are reproduced, and two different regulatory bodies are responsible for different policy mechanisms, one applied to traditional broadcasting, other one to online services, which is quite a peculiar situation and leads to many policy practical problems. The next thing is financing. Of course, financing remains one of the most crucial and serious problems in Central and Eastern Europe. On the one hand, some broadcasters, like was the case of Slovak television, collected massive debts. In other cases, parliaments or governments decided to abolish license fees quite early on, like was the case in Hungary in 2002. Similar solutions are now discussed in other countries. In the case of Poland, for instance, financing of public service media solely from license fees appeared to be unaffordable. And during the last, actually, 10 years, license fees revenues has oscillated around 30% of all revenues. So you can imagine that the most performance of public service television in Poland has been financed in 70% or so from commercial sources, from advertising. And given also a very strong position of the Polish television in advertising market, you can imagine how difficult it has been to reconcile the obligation of public service broadcaster on the one hand and also to cope with pressures of the market of commercial part of the media system. And this created a sort of situation of vicious circle, closed circle. On the one hand, viewers do not want to pay license fees because they see the television is too similar to commercial counterparts. It offers so much time to advertising. On the other hand, public television is not really able to collect sources from independent sphere, independent area, and therefore is not able to realize its mission accordingly. The new Act on Public Tasks in the area of audiovisual services, which was proposed by the current government this year, actually aimed to change this way of financing, and it stipulated that public service tasks will be financed from the state budget directly. And this, again, of course, creates a very dangerous situation because state subsidies for public service media will have to be negotiated each year, obviously, and this can, of course, result in a political bargaining different sorts of negotiation over the content. And of course, this also involves editorial independence. The law so far has been vetoed by the president, but we can see, you know, the tendency of thinking about public broadcasting, especially by politicians in Poland. And finally, I would like to reflect a bit on public service provision. Its implementation actually has been very criticized, especially in last year in many Central European countries. And it's because television is seen as a medium which actually abandons high-quality profile programming at the expense of, high market shares and commercial pressures. And in this respect, we can also see a sort of institutional division of public service mission as a solution for the problem. 2009 draft act again proposed that also commercial broadcasters, also private players, could be able to get public sources from the state budget for producing public service programming, like news, children programming, and so on and so on. Okay, all these trends, as we can see, show that public service media are framed and seen less and less as institutions or quite homogeneous centers of a media system, and more as services, applications available in fragmented communication networks that could be divided eventually among public or private units. And within this new discursive space, a justification of a centralized institution having a strong institutional position seems more and more difficult, at least in some countries in the region. Now I would like to come to the questions addressed in this meeting. Does it make sense to talk about European public service broadcasting? I would argue that we should stop to talk about broadcasting only and, as Uwe mentioned, to talk about public service, media, services, applications, but not anymore about strong institutions. And I would like to give you an example of current strategies of commercial private players. I'm sure you have many similar examples in your countries, but this is from the Polish ground. An example of a strong commercial player on the market, TVN, which just started to restructurize its businesses very fundamentally, in a way that it moves from a traditional model of television towards a network structure of various media businesses and services, including, of course, first of all, internet television, news portal, where you can also demand for different audiovisual content, social web services, which are, again, very popular, and they are linked to all the other places, and most importantly, digital platform, of course. So a formally centralized institution is being modified into a whole set of interlinked services. And here the center of gravity is not located in institutional element of the system, not in the television as such, but of course rather relations and connectiveness between these different service areas. And the second question was about European or pan-European public service broadcaster. I think that most of you are familiar with the critique of the European public service institution as such. And there is quite huge scholarship literature on that, using different arguments. Most common is, of course, differentiation of language and culture. Jean Chalabi argued, of course, in his famous articles, that a failure to create transnational pan-European public service is largely embedded in cultural and linguistic differences in Europe. The same argument was used by Jérôme Bourdon, who said that the view of nations as old, deeply integrated, also through communication, is dominant in Europe. And finally, of course, the view of John Sinclair and also Amezaga Albizu, who argued that the use of television today is very much affected by formation of so-called geolinguistic regions. not defined by geographical or political proximity, but by the community of language, by the community of culture. Having agreed on that, we are somehow logically moving from arguing for a common pan-European television channel or even service more into a solution which would mean reporting Europe more in different national media. But I think there is certainly need to offer more targeted and focused options than only reporting Europe more. And well, I have very similar argument than Uwe, that it's a new generation of Europeans we should think about in this respect, because the generation of our students, not to speak about children raised already in multicultural environments, has completely different models of socialization and also education in Europe. And here also bearing in mind migration patterns within Europe, this type of service could be for these groups very welcome. And I know that perhaps intra-European mobility or migration is more exposed in Central Europe at this moment, but stable national structure of settlement have changed also in Europe. And last thing I would like to say is just to reflect a little bit about the fundamental question. Do we need public service at all? And I know that we are all expected to say yes, but I would like to support my yes with, I hope, quite strong argument. The scarcity is still a problem, and the new technological conditions pose, of course, new risks that could be counterbalanced by public service media. Users, of course, suffer, we all know, from information overload and the loss of traditional information filters. And even if try to seek for quality information, it becomes sometimes more difficult in a new online world than in traditional media. Moreover, there is already empirical research available that shows that internet content produces actually greater level of concentration than traditional media. So audiences are gathered in a more concentrated way around certain search engines and online services, more in the online world than as it comes to traditional media. And of course, although there is enormous potential of pluralism diversity in the internet, the fact is that this enormous potential is not really used by users. So here I see really the potential for public service broadcasters, and perhaps in concluding remarks, I will come back to this issue. So that's for it now. Thank you.
Grazie alla professoressa Klimkiewicz, che ci ha aperto alla situazione e all'evoluzione del servizio pubblico nei paesi dell'Europa centrale e orientale, e che fra tutti i relatori finora è stata senz'altro quella che più ha messo l'accento, anche se altri relatori l'avevano evocato, all'importanza e al rilievo che i new media, nelle loro varie declinazioni, possono avere dal punto di vista dell'impatto e dell'utilizzo di un servizio pubblico.